L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
What's going on to us, boys? What's going on with us? We seem to be failing to get together.
Honestly, it's just like we had one week we got together, and now you've jetted off to Dubai.
I'm in Dubai now. And not only that, hi, Satch, are you there?
Satch?
I am here.
Yes. Okay, good. So this
can
is.
Can you hear me?
So I was. Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Loud and clear. But I'm nervous about my own kind of internet connections. I'm on the hotel Wi-Fi. I am in Dubai. I'm here for the month, a whole month for the T20 World Cup. But the wife and kids are all here with me as well for a week, and then they go back after a week. I'm actually already a little bit nervous about having 3 weeks away from them, because I've not spent three hours away from them in the last 2 years because of everything that's been going on. But
how long is it going to be? 3 weeks?
It's 4 weeks in total. And by the way, all that noise in the background is because right now it's Wednesday night, evening for you guys. It's nearly midnight. Well, it's just gone midnight for me, so it's just gone 9 o'clock for you.
Yep.
Champions League is on, Satch. Do you want to give everyone a little update as to how your team's doing, Satch?
In all honesty, I've not even... I've seen the score. I don't know nothing about it. I've had a busy afternoon, evening, and I've literally just come home and logged on. It's the first thing I've done.
He doesn't care. Well,
at this moment in time, I don't care.
I can give you an update. Man United have scored.
Go on in, Kedge.
Yeah, Man United have scored, so it's 2-1 now to Atalanta.
2-1 against Atalanta, which feels like you're saying Atlanta the wrong way. You know, exactly.
It's Atalanta.
Atalanta.
Elephant-lanta. Elephant-Atalanta.
Elephant-Atta, yes.
Atalanta. I don't even know where Atalanta is. It feels like a freshie saying Atlanta. That's what it is. Where is Atalanta?
I don't know, somewhere in Italy, isn't it?
Italy.
No, you got a clue. But I just feel like we're all over the place. We're all split up again. I'm here and on the hotel Wi-Fi, and it's all a bit crazy. There's people in the sports bar bit downstairs. Can I just say, sorry, I've got to get some moaning off my chest, if I may.
Oh, we love it.
Here we go.
Because I've not been away for so long. So I guess it's probably my fault. And I'm well aware that I might be in a heightened state of holidaying, state of travel, meaning I want more from my travel now, because it means more, right? You know,
what do you mean?
You want more?
Because, like, you know, me, Logan, Milo, we haven't been on a plane for so long. We haven't been away and checked into a hotel. We haven't done anything like that as a family for what feels like so long. Logan said 2 days ago, he's 4 years old, Dad, what does the inside of a plane look like? And I felt sorry for him. I was like, mate, I said, it's just like a big long coach with wings. It was like he's going, hey, Dad, what's that thing called a holiday? And I'd go, oh, back in the day, son, people used to go on holidays, but we don't do that anymore. It felt a bit sad. You know,
do you remember what the inside of a plane's like?
Well, I realise it's not that great, actually. And, you know, again, you know, a little bit cramped and all that. And it was packed out again. Two separate occasions with different people kicked off on the plane, shouting at each other.
No way.
Right, the first one was when we were just sitting down, right? So everyone, you know how everyone goes along the little aisle with their bags and stuff? And I've just put my bags above, and obviously you've got two kids. So you want to get them into the middle of our little row of four, and the missus on the end, I'm on one end, and kids in the middle, and all that, bags are up. So we're just nestled in. And then some woman comes past, and she turns to another woman. She goes, I think you're being rude. And then that woman goes, you're the rude one. But, you know, proper uchi. No.
Oh, wow.
NFG. NFG catch, right?
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, I wouldn't shout on a plane. I'm nervous about shouting on a plane because you like, people go, he's losing his mind. They throw him off. But they just shouted. Nobody came over. No Emirates staff came over.
What were they angry about? I'd like to know because
one must have nudged past the other one or wanted to get past. When she couldn't really get past. There was nowhere for her to go. And it is, I think there's something about that moment when you're boarding a plane or going through security and you've got kids and you've got bags and you just, everyone's a bit
uppity. Is that the word?
Yeah. And it's fine if you're on your own, But if you're with kids and people and bags and older people, it's slow or whatever, you're a bit tense. I don't know. So that kicked off. And then somebody else later on in the flight, right towards the end, this was 15 minutes before the end, somebody else didn't put their chair upright as we were coming into land.
Oh, yeah.
And they started off. They said, and he was going, "Who are you? I am not your dog. You cannot talk to me like dog." And I'm like,
that's
wow.
Brilliant. I love that.
Wow.
That
brilliant. I mean, the thing is, I've been on a couple of flights since you have, Tommy, and it seems like trouble just follows you around because I've not really had. Yeah. If anything, I was the person kicking off with a lady with a blanket on my flight. Like, you know.
What do you mean? Why is she hogging the blanket?
No, she just. Do you remember I told you the BA staff just never gave me a blanket till 4 hours into the flight? Yeah. So, but like, I'm quite surprised about that, Tommy, because, you know, I think people are in a bit of a good mood trying to be like, yeah, let's, you know, go away and you know, let things slide.
And not only that, the people next to me, you know, that little like nipple fan thing that you get, it looks like a little boob hanging down and you turn the nipple in a very provocative way to get it going or not going. Do you know what I'm talking about with the fans above your head?
Yes, the nipple fan thing, right? The air conditioning vent thing.
But I could feel a breeze on my head, so I tweaked the nipples above me, turned them all off, right? Because obviously I feel the breeze with not having any hair.
Yeah.
But the person in the row sort of next to me, so I'm on the aisle end, next to me, had their one pointing fully towards me and on top of it, so I could still feel the breeze.
So why didn't you tell him?
I did a kedge. I bottled out.
My God. Tommy, I swear, Dan, you're turning into
no. I would have said something there. Come on.
No, you would come back. Kedge, you wouldn't have.
I wouldn't. No.
I come back to the argument that
I hate that. I hate that, AC. It makes me ill.
Yeah. Same here. Right, and I come back to the point I said last week when we were talking about. I apologise to you, Kedge, about not confronting certain situations, but
you've had two Kedges, three Kedges. No, mate.
But this is the I don't know what the word would be, like a Kedge pass or some sort of, like, you know, you don't get to collect £200. You don't, you know, pass go, whatever it is, some sort of bypass, because. This is, again, one of those situations where you don't cause problems, like security, like on a plane, like you just have to go.
I'm sorry, but if you're on a plane and you're someone's nipples pointing at you and blowing, you know, it's a them nipples are dangerous. You can kick off, Tommy, like not
absolutely.
Kick off. No one's saying kick off. You can just give them a little, you know, nudge about their nipple and tell them to sort it out because, you know, it's affecting you.
I should have just said, can you either put it away or make it face the other way? But then in the end, talking about the gumball, I just got the gumball and put it over my head. Like, over the, you know, like I just looked like I had a chimney on.
Okay. Proper messy. Yeah,
and I've got to be honest, because I know that was my first flight I've done, not drinking the free alcohol.
Oh, God.
Do you know how weird that is?
How did you handle that?
Bro, it was fine, but it was weird. That's all. It was just different.
Then you have to experience the whole flight.
Yeah, with my kids and my wife. Yeah, absolutely. But honestly, I think it really helps with the jet lag, because normally I'm like a lot more mashed. My skin feels horrible and all that because you're just dehydrated. Mm. So I didn't feel any of those things. I had two cups of. I went, can you pour me two cups of coffee, please? Because I feel like I deserve it. And I saved my dessert. And that was the other thing. Sorry. Nah. The food comes out. It's got the dessert on there. I want a cup of tea with my dessert. I said, how long to the coffee? And they went, it's coming out next. It was a good 45 minutes after they'd served the food.
Yeah, but you ain't in a restaurant or anything. You bear with them. You know, they have to go up and down the aisle.
Yeah. They've got 400 people to feed.
400 people. Then my man wants to eat with his dessert. I'm sorry. That's not how it works.
Oh, okay. See, maybe it's me. I'm all for putting my hands up and going, maybe I'm just unfamiliar with flying now.
I think, exactly. That, and you've become too comfortable in your home habits where you can have a tea with your dessert and no one questions you, and you can have it when you want.
But forget about the plane malarkey. How is it to be over there? How's the weather?
No, weather amazing, just amazing. Proper heat, that feeling when you walk outside at night. We landed about midnight, 12:30. It was 31 degrees. Satch, you know, you were only here a little while ago. So that's incredible. I'm going to get another little moment. I feel like I'm just being negative Nancy
here.
But because then I come to the hotel, obviously I'm not drinking, nothing else, and people hear smoke. So the lobby smells of smoke.
Smoke.
And I'm like, that's disgusting. It's a 5-star hotel. I don't want to smell that. The rooms don't and nothing else does. But I'm like my boys are holding up their mouth, covering their mouth to run through the lobby because it stinks.
People are smoking inside the hotel.
No, there's a bar inside. I told you where the football's playing now. I can hear it. And so I think it's in there. And
you can smoke in there,
Don't worry, bruv. I've sent the email. I've been down to reception this morning. I said, I don't think this is on. Plus, you know, our room had one cupboard for all our clothes for 1 week. And I'm like, one cupboard for a family of four? I said this. So I think you're right. I think I'm a bit post-COVID, post-lockdown. Yeah. You know, because I think you hit the nail on the head there, Kedge. We just got used to doing things our own way.
Exactly.
Wow.
And now we sound like
a proper old man.
Yeah.
I know. And I'm disappointing myself.
This whole experience. Normally, he loves all of this. And now... Yeah. He's gone completely opposite. That is incredible. But it just shows what lockdown has done.
I think to the point where I think he should take up drinking again, because then we ain't going to hear his moaning. And he wouldn't even realise half of
this. Maybe. Can someone just shove some, you know, alcohol down him?
Yeah. But I thought, shall I start a little? Well, because obviously I just gave up because I just gave up and then lockdown sort of happened. And so there's no problem. There's no issue like that.
Yeah.
I love drink. I miss it. But then I thought, oh, shall I start a little thing where I can drink on holidays? You know, but I think I'm. Yeah, but then I know I'm weak, bro.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's it. And then he'll come back and he'll book another holiday the week after.
then it'll be just drinking holidays.
I think you should do a little only drink when you're at cricket matches.
But yeah, mate. Oh God, I don't think that's any good. No, because if I start because of the Bardo Dami, they just happily pour beer into you via intravenous drip. So I think I'm going to dodge that one. I mean, that's not the place to drink. But I don't really miss it. But you sort of miss that little bit of fun that drink brings. And it does. Drink just makes things more fun. But you don't drink that much now, Ked. You don't. No. You're the only drinker out of us now. But when was the last time you had a drink?
I don't know. Maybe 2-3 weeks ago. And that was only because I had a couple of beers. I think that was it.
So I think you can quite easily sort of just dodge it. But anyway, enough of that. The weather's good. It's nice to be in the pool. I am grateful. Tomorrow we're on a safari. There's India versus Pakistan on Sunday. You know, I might take the kids along to West Indies versus England. I think they'd like to see that. Just because another bit of hype and stuff. And besides, I can't get them tickets to India Pakistan because that, as you can imagine, is like the old classic of cricket. And everyone, there's already a bit of a buzz around here for that.
All I can suggest for the game, because obviously I've been to a cricket match over there, is kind of get ready for the food, because like, you know, the snacks are good, mate, and they come to your seat with them, so you ain't even got to leave.
Like fans or actual staff? What do you actual caterers? Staff.
It's exactly the same as watching a game in India. Like, they come to your seat, they sell you everything that's on offer. It's brilliant.
Lovely.
I love that.
It's just like well, for the game that I went to, it was all sort of Indian snacks and different crisps and, you know, all these kind of little I don't want to say jevra, but stuff like that. And then the guy would come around with like
nasto,
and then the guy would come around with like a hot desi jar sort of a thermos thing on his back, and he pours everyone desi tea. It's amazing.
That sounds good. Because if you went, oh, yeah, they're going around with a beer keg on their back, I'd be like, oh, no, you know, like, that's in the heat, that's going to be hard to resist.
I don't know if they do beers there, actually. I didn't see any. It was all soft drinks and tea from what I remember. Maybe I didn't go to the beer section. I don't know.
I'm fine if they don't. And by the way, that Dubai Expo thing is going on, which I still don't really understand what it is. It's just...
Neither do I.
Dubai Expo is always on all year round. Every time there's this...
It's not. It's this thing they've been promoting for about 10 years. It started while I was there.
This is the first one.
Yeah, and that's it. It's on till March, so it's worth going to.
6 months.
And I think you got a free ticket, Tommy.
Yeah, and but the thing is, they're going. So I googled. I went, "What is it?" And he went, "It's the biggest expo in the world." I went, "Okay."
Yeah. I've been going to Dubai for years. Every time there's some expo, this Dubai World, this Dubai Expo. It's unbelievable. Like it's just non-stop in Dubai. Like you think, have they actually built anything yet?
Oh, bro, there's buildings going up everywhere.
I remember years ago that they were going to build the ultimate Disneyland in Dubai. Has that fruition?
I think it's there. Yeah, yeah. It's going down towards Abu Dhabi. They've got a massive thing.
But you know what? This is it. This whole area is a desi person's holiday. This is our Magaluf. This is our Spain holiday. Because everyone here who works here is Indian or Pakistani. And everyone who's, a lot of people coming through. I can say this to you boys and to our listeners without sounding like an idiot. You know, when we were on the radio, everywhere we went, when we meet Asian people, they stopped us and, you know, would say, oh, it's you from the radio and things like that. And they'd recognize you. Then obviously that all went away for a bit. Since I've been here, bruv, I got stopped 4 or 5 times on the plane. Right? And then 4 or 5 times, I was walking past the pool here and someone went, there's a woman here, just had, yeah, in Dubai, yeah, by the pool today, woman had Mendy on her hands and she sort of just smiled. I went, all right. I went, oh, you got married? And she went, oh, actually, we got married during lockdown. This is a post lockdown kind of honeymoon. She goes, so what are you doing here, Tommy? She, you know, and I go, oh, okay. But she didn't make no fuss of it. But just, yeah. And I went, oh, I'm just here, there's a wife and kids. I was like, all right. And I was just doing small talk. But meaning, there's this apne. This place is an apne, apne, like, place. It's just all desi. Dubai is proper desi.
It is mini London.
Yeah.
And speaking of London and speaking of sort of you being away, Tommy, like, I wish I could get away this week because one of the things that happened to me was all my trains were cancelled and I was on the way to work to see Kedge. So I don't know. It's every day there's some sort of issue with different excuses and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I'm getting a bit fed up of it now, to be quite honest.
Fed up of London.
And one day I actually called Kedge and I said, I walked to the station, I got drenched, there's no trains, I'm going back home.
Can you believe that? He goes, I'm going back home.
But see, this is at some point, Kedge, it's going to get a little bit tricky because you're going to have to go, no, Satch, I need you in. I need you in the office, God damn it!
No, but
you
know, he understand. If there's no trains going past a certain point, what do you want me to do? Walk there?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And to be fair, I was stuck anyway.
Well, there you go.
My death as well.
He was stuck as well. So yeah, we were all stuck. The only person that got away was Tommy.
Tommy got away.
But hold on. And I just want to say this as well. So you've had problems with the trains, Satch.
Yeah.
Today your internet is down, so you're recording this. Because just so everyone knows, Satch does all the hard work. He records the podcast and then does all the kind of editing, trimming bits and kind of gets it all uploaded. But you're doing this right now off your 4G phone or whatever. So you've had internet problems. You've got rail problems. These things come in free, Satch. What's going to be the third one?
Well, the other problem I had today was I went and I got my flu jab. So I got a flu jab today. It was all right. It's pretty straightforward. But, you know, like I got there and I was a bit sort of, do you know when you just doubt the nurse? I was in that situation.
How come you doubted her? What made you doubt her?
Because she just wasn't, when I spoke to her, she wasn't confident. And that just puts a bit of doubt
in what way? What made you nervous?
She was trying to explain to me, like, you know, you got to say, oh, the side effects could be this, 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 heavy arm, blah, blah, blah. Have you had a flu jab before? Blah, blah, blah. But she just wasn't confident. And that made me not confident because I was thinking.
Was she young? Was she a trainee?
She wasn't. She was quite old, actually. And that's what was surprising. Because usually when there's an old person or older person behind it. Yeah, you do feel it. Every time I give blood, I always wish for like an older person to do it because you don't feel it. Whereas if it's a younger one, your arm's going to be bruised. But she was just really sort of like nervous. And it was making me nervous. And I was thinking, gosh, like, do I need to check the actual jab before she puts it in me? Like, you know, and then and this was the worst part. She hit me with a jab, put it into my arm. And when the jab came out, she you're meant to put a plaster over it. She asked me, are you allergic to plasters? I was like, no, it's all good, go for it.
And she goes, to plasters? Who's
well, some people,
to
some people
yeah,
are.
Some people are, yeah.
And really? And she, yeah, and she goes to me, oh, I can't see your hole. It's closed up really quickly. And I was just like, hang on a minute, did you put this in my arm?
Why did you take your trousers off?
sorry, do you want me to bend over, fella?
But maybe that's why she was nervous.
No, it was
like, in my... Here for injection, mate.
No, but honestly, it's just in my, I couldn't stop laughing. I was just like, you can't say that. Like, well, I didn't say that, but I was thinking that. I was like, she's like, your whole clothes
up. I think that's a new thing. They don't give plasters. When I had the coronavirus injection, they didn't put a plaster on.
Oh, no, she put a plaster on, and then she was just like, I can't find your hole to put the plaster over. She goes, oh, I've had loads of problems with other people's holes. Like, some people start dripping out and all sorts. I was thinking, please, just stop. Leaky holes. Stop, lady.
Hey, maybe, Satch, you're like Wolverine. You never know.
Yeah, just seals up. Just
repairs yourself. So anyway, got that. I'm feeling all right so far. But it was just, as you said, comes in threes. Internet's down. Trains are down. Lady didn't know what she was doing with the jab.
Can I just say, you were right to be weary, because I don't know if I've said this story before already, but my sister, when she had her COVID jab, she came in and she was the last one of the day. And, you know, obviously there was that point when everyone was doing the COVID jab. They're like, oh, how many thousands have you done? And how many thousands of this? And they're like, oh, we're up to this many. We've jabbed this many people today. And it's all a bit of a vibe and everybody's high-fiving and all this stuff. Yeah. So this, and she went in and she goes, the guy was like, hey, you're the last one of the day. We're up to this many thousand we've done today. And she goes, I looked at him and I thought, you ain't concentrating. You're so giddy that you're on the last one of the day and it's me. And this is a true story. They did it. But my sister goes, as he put it in, he went into like the top of her shoulder. And even she thought, a bit high. Like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Bruv, she's got a dead arm. She's got a frozen arm to this day. I've said this one. Right. So I'm like, I'm saying one little jab. Yeah. But you know, you're right to be weary. I'm like, listen, we need your undivided attention. Why are you looking nervous, woman? Is what I would have said. What's the matter?
It just made me nervous. And the thing is, I was actually trying to like chat to her to make her feel unnervous. And it was just making me even more nervous, because I thought, maybe I should just chat to her and just let her get on with it.
Nah, that would have taken her focus away. So I'm going to add to this list.
Are you okay, Kedge?
Yeah, here we go.
I'm okay. But there's the biggest issue for me this week, literally comes down to Heinz tomato soup tins. And really.
Okay, so here are real problems, like people not getting trained, you know, vaccinations going in the wrong holes, and internet issues, and Kedge is worried about Heinz.
Do you know what? You would never have thought this. And it only really, really annoyed me this week. So I realised there was lack of soup in the house, so I got a few cans of Heinz soup. Tomato.
So I understand your, I just want to understand the Kedgel soup regime. Is there always three or four cans? I'd imagine just a mushroom, three or four, a tomato, mixed veg.
And that kind of thing. I like a minced every now and then.
They're the only four you can eat, Tommy.
Yeah, to be fair, that's the only four.
Yeah, I was going to say. So, I couldn't think of any other veg ones. But potato and leek. So there's always a few cans.
Yeah, there's a few cans, but I've noticed it all just because, you know, now we're entering the winter months, I thought it's always good to have, right? So, and the stock was low. So I thought I'll get four just in case.
Oh, stock was low.
Yeah, well, because there were, well, to be fair, there wasn't any. So I got four and I was just putting them away and I thought, oh yeah, I'll stack them up. But Heinz tomato soup don't stack. They make the same bottom bit as the top bit. So they don't sit on top of each other.
So it's rim on rim.
Rim on rim job. And they kept falling over. And I thought I was drunk. And I was like, what's going on here? And then I figured out they're not. Why did they change this? Why are they not doing stackable tins anymore? What's the point? I mean, if you can't make stackable tins, then you should have your license taken away from you. You shouldn't be allowed to make tins.
They're basically, it's the bungalow of tins. Who's just scored? Can you hear the roaring? Is that...
Well, I'm on is that Man U slightly, so let's have a look. Nothing's happening at the moment. It's still 2-1.
Yeah, I've just heard a roar from the bar downstairs. So I think that's a Man U.
Maybe there was just like, I don't know, maybe it's a free round for everyone. That's why they...
Oh, here we go. Yeah, it's Man United and it is Maguire.
Oh, 2-2. So it's 2-2 now.
Yeah.
Okay,
he was free on the back post.
There you go. No, you're right. It's a bungalow of tins, because then effectively you've got to put them in a cupboard or drawer, but all on one story. That's it.
It's a one-story tin, and I'm really annoyed about that. And if Heinz are listening, or if someone who works listens to the brand and works at Heinz, I think this will get you a promotion. It will get you a pay rise, and just say, can we go back to the stackable tin? Because this is really annoying.
Or what they could do is you could get different sizes of tins. So you get like the soup for one. Because I think a tin of soup is a little bit too much for one person, right? A little bit too much. So if you have a thinner tin that sits sits inside that tin rim.
Yeah.
Then you got the suit for one, and then you could have a kid one, which is a little bit smaller than that, like almost like the Russian dolls. Yeah,
of tomato soup. Exactly. That's a good shout. And they that go, is a good shout.
Got a free stack. I'm telling you, we could also
can I just follow up on, and this is not a moan actually, but I'd just like to follow up because we were inundated with, after our last podcast, we were talking about Nusr Ed and his salt and the Salt Bay, and you know, and I said, well, why can't we have a vegetarian vegan? But why isn't there anyone in the world doing the vegetarian vegan version of that, right?
Yeah.
And someone goes, well, Kedge, actually, you know, there already is something like that. And I was like, what? And so loads of people this week were talking about the golden pappardum.
The what?
The golden pappardum.
Okay, I've never heard of it. What is it?
It's papper, it's golden, and it costs $2,000.
Oh no, okay. So that's the dish. I thought you meant there was like a Salt Bay equivalent. Because we were saying, who's going to sprinkle the chaat masala, or who's going to pour the dal off their elbow?
No, this is just a dish. It's just a dish, the golden pappardum, and it's gold covered, and everyone's saying, well, there you go. This is the equivalent, Kedge, for you. You should be happy. But I was like, but that's not the point. Because the golden pappardum just sits there, and it doesn't require anyone to come and stroke it, to slice it, to break it, or anything. There's no Instagram action for me there. And also, there's nothing that I can sprinkle on there either. Do you see what I mean?
No.
So thank you for everybody.
$2,000 for a pappardum. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
That is absolutely ridiculous. I'm sorry, but, you know, at home, we have stacks of the stuff in storage. In buckets and stuff.
And what does this add? I don't think the gold leaf... Is this a gold leaf added to it? Is that what it is?
Well, it's completely covered. It's completely covered. It's gone absolutely crazy because... And I think it's been inspired from Salt Bay as well. And it's a 24...
All those fancy...
Yeah, so it's a 24-carat poppadom. I'm just bringing it up. And this is to go compete with the £630 gold-dusted steak. And it's a restaurant, where is that? Does it say where it is? The owner is on Tooley Street in London. Mohammed Kodrul. The recipe is top secret, but it's made from the traditional version with ground lentils.
Top secret. I'm sorry, you just get a pop of them, you fry it, and then you sprinkle a bit of gold leaf on it.
It's a very expensive taste to it, and it wows customers.
Yeah, and with poppadoms, I'm sorry. It's not going to... The homemade ones are the best ones, isn't it? The ones that you eat at home. Like, why would you want to go... Like, I don't think poppadoms need to be fancy. Like,
sorry,
do you know
it's
what
not
mean?
$2,000. It's just £100.
So,
it's still ridiculous.
It's still ridiculous.
And obviously, the first thing you do with a poppadom is you break it.
You break it, right?
So then you're going to lose crumbs of gold straight away.
Yeah.
And then you put a little section of... Do you do that? I create like a little pizza slice. So I get a little section, then I'll... In one area, I'll have the mango area, the chutney area, the onion area, maybe some achar area, but I don't mix it all up. So as I break it off in sort of countries, then from the land I've created, I'm having different flavored countries. What's your poppadom topping strategy? Because then that would defeat the objective of all the gold on it, because you'd just be covering it in chutney, because a poppadom is nothing on its own. It needs...
Yeah, you need the...
Yeah, chutney. What does the gold taste of? Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Does anyone care?
Yes, yes.
Because if you eat steak is a taste. Do you know what I mean? Whereas poppadom is like, do you know what I mean? It could be any, it's just cardboard kind of thing. So it doesn't taste.
But also, you know, whether you eat cardboard. Whether you eat any kind of meat or not, with meat, what you're paying for then is how that animal was reared and how well it was treated and therefore how clean it is and, you know, all that kind of rubbish. But what are you paying for with a lentil-based poppadom?
Well, this poppadom lived in this chef's bed. He went to sleep with him for a year before you got to try it.
Oh, wow. I don't think I want to go anywhere near it then.
Went in the shower with him, everything.
Oh, they should call it the proper dom. Like, it's a proper... Dom,
you know, it's a proper waste of money. I'd say 10 out of 10 for trying to exploit the trend, but I think he went with the wrong thing. Once again,
agree.
You need for it to go viral, you need some sort of sprinkling action, something that
or physicality, not necessarily sprinkling.
Well, not necessarily sprinkling, but it needs some sort of throwing action or something which you can film on Instagram. Come on, basic ways of making things go viral.
Just very quickly about Salt Bae, and I'm going to mention him again this week, because he's absolutely, I think a week goes by and you just see more stuff from him, and I'm just like, this guy is absolutely, I see so many people that I know that are going to it as well. I'm like, you lot are stupid, you're spending like a few hundred quid each. Like, and I'm just like,
you know people who are going to it.
I do know people that are going to it. And, and do you know what? They only go to it to put it on Instagram, which is fine if that's what they want to do.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. But the thing that I saw this week was the fact that there was a bill flying around online for 37 grand that someone spent in there on one night.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
And to be fair, when I did see that, the first thing I thought was, if I was Salt Bae and that was my restaurant, I'd make that receipt up and just chuck it out online because it's going to get people talking,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Man United have scored. Ronaldo is
3-2. Oh, really? But incredible. Yeah, no, forget about that team. I'm so over them. So anyway, back to Salt Bae. I'm just thinking this guy's absolutely everywhere. He's killing it. And even the other thing I saw this week was about the restaurant was there was this food critic who basically went and got a random kebab from up the road and set up a table and just sat down outside and ate it because he goes, your prices are too expensive.
That's jealousy.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of hating. Like, you know, like, I mean, at the end of the day, I know people that go there. Like, I mean, if they can afford it, chef, that's their thing, then
that
cool.
That chef, Raymond.
I don't think he's a chef. He's a food critic.
Oh, he's a food critic.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then, okay, be honest. If, look, you know, and we're all okay, but if money was no object,
I'd eat it.
Would you go?
I don't think I would.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I would. Yeah, Kedge is the guy that would go there. I wouldn't go there.
But you would try. If money was no object, absolutely you would be there.
Nah, I wouldn't go. No, I don't think I would.
No, because that's where you would be hanging out.
No,
You would be mates with Nusser et Tommy. Do you know what I mean? That's how it would be. Nusser and Tommy. Nusser et Satch. That's how it would go down. You ain't going to McDonald's, you ain't going to Nando's when you're like, if money's no object, you ain't going to Nando's. I'm telling you that now.
No, I beg to differ. I'm all about the smaller sort of quick, cheaper eats. That's more my thing. Like, I'm not really a
formal restaurant. But that's because we are now.
No, it's not. I couldn't think of anything worse than to go to somewhere where it's so formal that you can't even flip in.
If money was no object, you could turn up with your jaddies on and Nusret would still feed you.
I don't know. It don't appeal to me.
No. And that's, I don't know how good or how expensive a steak can be. Like that, his meats do look great. And I mean, their steaks look fantastic, but I can tell you there are some other great steak places. Hawksmoor is brilliant. Goodman's is brilliant. They're both two London places who do phenomenal steaks, and they're not cheap either. There's a kebab shop, but there's something, if you probably Google it, there's like a kebab place where that only seats six people. The chef cooks it on a hot stone table in front of you, but it's kebab, but it's really fancy kebab. And even that's like about £200 a head, you know? But it's not into this Nusret et.
It's 15,000
ahead.
For example, I wouldn't even want to go to like a really fancy Indian restaurant because that's not really my thing. Like, I don't appeal to me. I'd rather go to, I think the one that we go to, Tommy, at the bottom of your road is probably the fanciest I'd ever go to.
Yeah. And actually, it's still quite comforting.
All I'm saying is that when you've got loads of money, it becomes your thing.
Yeah, I get it. But I sometimes
people
think
change.
I think it's that whole emperor with no clothes and all that kind of thing. Like, I don't think you're actually paying for anything. I think people are being duped into the hype of it. Look, and I'm sitting there in Dubai, outside there's Lamborghinis, Ferraris.
If it goes onto Instagram, then it's credibility. Why does this all of a sudden start happening? Why do all these shops all of a sudden have Instagram walls? Why do, you know, everyone's got all of this kind of funky drinks and desserts and all of that? It's just because it's all about the gram. If you can get on the gram, it means I've got a better life than you because I went to that restaurant and you haven't. And that's what it's about. Yeah. It's about making people jealous. And that's what life is about.
Yeah. And you know, by the way, I think the world has fully given in to the gram now, because as I look around, and by the way, I miss the buffet. I do like a buffet here at the hotel. I love a buffet breakfast and all that. You just go around the omelette station and all that kind of stuff. It's good to have that back.
Well, you didn't go this morning?
No, I did. Of course.
Nice. Yeah. How was it?
Yeah, I went this. Yeah, like, it's just nice. Omelette, everything's there. Yeah, man, everything. Sprinkle it all in. And the way they fold it up and they do it and it's just perfectly done and the cheese is still melted in the middle. When I do it, the cheese isn't, the heat don't go through, but it's too overcooked on the outside. Just lovely. And, you know, he's got three pans on the go. I'm like, man, it's amazing. Anyway, but everyone was on their phones at the table. Everyone. And I said to the boys and the missus, I said, let's all put phones away. Let's just eat our food and just chitter-chatter.
Well, and what did they do? Tell you to go away?
No, they were going, no, Milo straight was like, but look, everyone else on their phones. And I looked around, I was like, couples who are there together, just the two of them, leaning back. The food's in front of them. They're eating as well. And they're just leaning back in their chair on their phone. They're not even like, it doesn't look like they're just quickly sending a message.
I don't like that. I don't like that, man.
No, it's man. Honestly, and I know I'm well aware I'm sounding like an old fart. I might well be jet lagged. I might well just be away from home. I might be a little bit out of my comfort zone now. I don't know what's going on, you know, but I'm genuinely feeling all these things. I'm like, man, the world is just changing. And it's going crazy.
Let me tell you about something else that was Instagrammable recently at a wedding in the UK. And that is, right, and I don't know, tell me if you've ever heard of this before because it was new to me, but it was a crisp wall for a wedding.
It was a what?
A crisp wall.
So crisp, like Golden Wonder, what's it?
Yeah.
Hula hoop.
It's Doritos. The new food trend, again, sweeping the nation. It's getting everywhere on the gram. And what it is they just have a wall.
Describe how it physically looks. Is it crisps or is it bags attached to the wall?
It's bags of crisps attached to a wall. And someone put a photo up and said, this is the crisp wall at my wedding. And it started a massive debate up and down the nation because someone said, and it all started off, I can't believe there's no Monster Munch on there.
Oh, okay, there you go. Right. Okay.
And that's it. Yeah. And that's what, and then someone said, no hula hoops. OMG.
Oh. You can't have a crisp ball without either of them, can I just say, FYI?
Yeah, not a crisp wall. If you're serving up a wall of crisps, then you need a selection.
So
yeah, of course.
Two things that I want to discuss here. Firstly, we are going to go into the types of crisps. The second part of this was, and here's the plot twist, this is the real part of the Squid Game now. Hmm. That was the wedding dinner.
Oh.
Whoa.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Please discuss.
So, wasn't an Asian wedding.
Well, okay. They would have definitely known about it.
No, I mean, I'm a guy that's sort of experienced in these walls because I see them quite a lot at weddings. Not crisp ones. I haven't seen a crisp wall, but I've seen loads of other
stuff. What
have you
seen?
I've seen donut walls before. Yeah. I've seen chocolate walls before. I've seen what else was there? There was like another sweetie one that like it wasn't chocolates. It was just like little bags of Haribo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's usually something you can just sort of grab and just eat, basically, like sort of there and then. I haven't seen the crisp ball, but I think it's a nice thing to have as like a, you know, like a little showpiece sort of thing that sort of just sits on the side of your wedding. But that's not your full dinner. That's just a little thing to be like, oh, there you go. I'm going to finish my dinner. Go grab a donut from the donut wall.
But what is this supposed to be quirky? Like, oh yeah, we're going to just serve your crisps on the wedding day.
There you go.
I don't understand.
It's absolutely that. And so no wonder you'd be running off to get a £600 steak because you'd be starving.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but if I went to that wedding and there was money in the card, I'd take it out and then give them the card.
And then put the empty bag of crisps in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You are taking it.
Just to let you know, I had mini cheddars because you didn't have Monster Munch.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, sorry. You were at this wedding, did you say?
No. I'm not saying that's what
imagine,
I would say.
Imagine if he was, Kedge would be livid.
All right.
If I was at this wedding, what? My word.
No, stop right there. That's the bit I want to pull you up on. Mini cheddars ain't crisps.
Yeah, shouldn't be on a crisp wall.
But this dude's got mini cheddars on there. That's why I picked it.
No. Then it's a snack wall. It's not a crisp wall. See, these are the things that annoy me in life, Kedge. These are the things
I mean, it would be, it would be good if you had a Greg's wall. Loads of different.
Hello.
Exactly.
That's a good wall.
There's something for everyone. Can I just quickly say on that note, my cousin goes to me, oh God, you never guess what? I had three meetings today. Seeing as we're talking about fine dining and food and all that, three meetings today, one at Nobu, one at Hakkasan, and one at some other fancy restaurant, Kai, whatever, in Mayfair.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I only had a starter at each one because I was meeting three different clients. Da, da, da. And I was like, you know what I did? I went Greg's. And it was a selection. And I walked out.
Lovely.
You know, and I spent about £9 at Greg's, and that was for me, Milo, and Logan. And I was like, and we had loads of food for £9. Yeah. I was like, Ask me.
I think I've done that once. I went to Novikov in London to meet someone.
There you go.
And then when I finished, I went to the Sainsbury's and picked up a sandwich because I was just like, yeah, man. That all of that.
I love it.
I don't even understand the menu. Like, what language is it in? I don't eat half of this stuff. What is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not me. I'm with your cousin, mate. Trust me. I'm the same.
Me and my wife were just in our dating days, and we went to one of these kind of tasting menus for Gordon Ramsay, and we ordered the BLT, and I thought, okay, BLT, bacon, lettuce, tomato, brilliant. Bruv, it came as a mousse in a glass, a mousse of bacon, a mousse of lettuce, and a mousse of tomato, right? We ordered the croque monsieur, which is a cheese toastie, because we're just trying to get the things that we know and like, and that came about the size of one finger. On the way home, she goes, oh my, do you fancy him? She goes, do you fancy Burger King? I was like, we are going to get married. That's it. That's it. This is happening.
Winner.
That's when you know. But see, the crisp ball, look, snack wall. Oh, sorry. You haven't told us, Kedge, what was there. So you said there were mini cheddars, not crisps, but okay, we'll let it go. What else was on the wall?
So I'm just obviously zooming into the picture, but you've got Skips, you've got Walkers flavors, you've got the salt and shake. You've got Quavers.
Space Raiders. To me this kind of sounds a bit basic. I mean, if I was doing the crisp ball, I'd get crisps from around the world, like Lay's and Cheetos and American crisps and
why was this not done?
I don't understand.
Yeah, or you'd have like basic. You'd have a wicked, wicked, bad boy like sandwich station making loads of amazing sandwiches, loads of wicked bread, and then you go take your crisp from the crisp balls you have with it. So it's like a meal. Yeah. You're making the kind of real fancy meal deal, but keeping it real with the crisps. Some of the, but just a crisp on their own, it'll make sense. And you're right. If you're going to do the crisp ball, you got to go with the Monster Munch and the Hula Hoops and all textures. And by the way, Skips. Can I just say, Skips, I don't trust Skips. What are they? It's like a foamy...
I do like Skips. I do like them, but they just kind of melt in your mouth. Like you put them in and that's it, gone.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, they get shy in your mouth. They go, oh no, I'm sorry. I haven't really got a crunch. I'm just going to dissolve. Is that all right? You know, Skips are a bit wet and a bit, I don't know. Yeah. It's like that stuff you get in the boxes back in the day. You know, that kind of white puffy polystyrene stuff.
The white stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Except for that.
Those little puffy things.
I have such horrible memories of my friends eating Skips when we were little because they just, their fingers, you know, kids are dirty, and their fingers are covered in that Skip powder and they just stink all day.
I tell you one thing that I have seen at a wedding that I thought was a pretty good idea, and it was set up like a crisp wall, but it was... a whole bunch of lottery tickets stapled to the wall and you could just go there and pick one off. It was like a wedding favour. It's like one lucky dip on each ticket and you could just take, it was like tickets and scratch cards and you can just pull one off and that's yours.
It's funny you said that because one of the biggest stories this week is from in the UK about how this auntie, right, who bought her nephew, she didn't know what to buy her nephew. And so she just got him two scratch cards. Yeah. So a couple of quid. He won on both. One of them, he won a fiver and the other one, he won a 5-digit figure.
Oh,
right. So it's quite a lot.
$10,000. Is that 10, right?
Well, she's making out it's more slightly closer to sort of halfway.
Oh, to 100. So about 50.
And
nice.
And the aunt basically kind of went public with it and goes, I want some of this money back because...
Was she Desi?
No, she's not Desi. But she can't goes, do that. She goes, I've got my own house and I'm scraping by my life to pay my taxes and insurances. She goes, I've had only ramen noodles, like, for every meal for the last 5 days. She goes, and I'm struggling. So can I have some of this money, please? And it's just become a massive sort of online debate about what happens if you give a lottery ticket and they win. And I kind of feel sorry for her.
Wow.
Because she's struggling, and it was just out of her, you know, like, out of a bit of courtesy, she bought a couple of quid's worth of lottery tickets for her nephew. What would you do in that situation as the nephew?
Yeah. You well, it's, I think it's up to you as a gesture whether you want to kind of go, right, there should be a little kickback, I got it through you. But it's similar to that thing of like, let's say, like, oh, I think we only did it a couple of times. We were never organized enough to buy lottery tickets together, but you would have to chip in your 50-70p, whatever it works out as per lottery ticket, to know that you actually had a stake. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta solidify the deal. But exactly. But she's given as a gift. Is it any different from giving money to someone, then they go and buy a lottery ticket with that money, and then they win? Is it any different from that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's different.
Yeah. I think she what she can't do is basically say to him, I want it back, because it's a gift. You've given it, and that's it.
People give lottery tickets thinking they're not going to win anyway.
Yeah,
but it's the thought that counts.
But whether the nephew wants to then be like, oh, I think I might give her a little 5 bags or 10 bags or whatever, then that's down to him.
But it became a big talking point, and it forums, loads of people were arguing.
I'm trying to piece it together in my head. I'm thinking, how much was it? You said they won a five. How much was the second amount?
It was a 5-digit figure, close to about 50 grand.
Yeah, I think. And what does the owner, not the owner, the party thrower want? How much she hasn't said, or he hasn't said?
No, she hasn't said some. She just goes, I'd like to have some of it back.
Yeah. Well, okay, you've won. Okay, it depends how close. If you've won, do you give, say, and then also, what do you give? Would you give some back?
I think the lesson from this is don't give lottery tickets.
I know. I don't think so. Because, like, for example, when there's a massive lottery on, I always message all the lads in the group chat. I'm like, lads, don't forget lottery tickets today. Bang, 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 bang. And like, even sometimes I've because me and Kedger in the office. Tommy, you don't know about this. I'm like, Kedge, make sure you put a fiver on today.
Don't reveal the secret.
I'm like, Kedge, put a fiver on. I'll put a fiver on. We win, we go halves. And that was it. Like, yeah. But, you and know, now it is what it is, kind of thing.
6 million quid each.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't. But, yeah. But it's just, that's just quite normal. Like, I mean, I do it with kind of all my mates, isn't it? It's just like, yeah, cool, lads.
No, but that's different. You know what I mean? That's different. That is different.
But then,
if you gave a ticket to someone...
But then I think about that sometimes. I'm like, God, imagine if someone won that because of what you've set up. Then it's just like, God, that's, you'd be put in a mad situation. Do you know what I mean?
I think to avoid the situation, stop buying people lottery tickets.
Well, no, I'm not buying it for people. I'm just reminding them. There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
Yeah, no. Reminding is fine. But I'm saying giving lottery tickets to people, I think, can lead into situations that you don't need to be in, because
I think it just wasn't clarified, because you go, oh, it'll be nice, give a lottery ticket, but then if that person won, you got to think it through. So clearly to this, I think shame on this person, by the way, who's throwing the wedding, who's giving it out. They shouldn't have asked for it. If they got something back, they got something back. But if you're going to give lottery tickets, you should be giving it, as we say, kulla dil.
Yeah,
you know,
good luck to you. Exactly.
Thank you. This is a joyous occasion. Let it bring you luck. We feel lucky. We feel happy. We're getting married. Let the luck pass on to you.
It was a birthday present.
It's a birthday.
We're having a party. We're having a celebration. Feel good vibes. You know, over to you. Or you go, right, agreed. Everyone's got a lottery ticket. The deal is, if you win, we're getting halves on it. But I want you all to be in a chance of sharing my joy. Then you declare it.
Oh, wow.
But then
oh, wow. So you want people to sign like a form before they take one, Tommy?
I mean, you have to say up front. You can't be doing this kind of ringing them up. Later, I'm going to go, oh, Matasoniato, you know, you won a lottery.
So what you're saying is if you're doing a lottery ticket wall at your wedding, put a sign above it saying, whatever you win, we go halves on. Take one at your own risk.
Or you write, whatever you win, fair enough. Good luck to you. Good luck to you. Have it and spend it. Go to Dubai or go to Nusret restaurant and get yourself a steak. There you go. Yeah. Tell them what to do with it. There you go. Exactly. And take me with you. And then go
Greg's afterwards.
Yeah, on the way home.
You probably need
it. Right. Exactly.
Very quick thing about Greg's, and I think I wanted to mention it last week on the podcast, and I think it was they're opening up drive-throughs. Did anyone pick up on that story?
I saw that.
I think I did, yeah. And but then, I'm going to just balance it out. Not that we're sponsored by these guys, but these are the kind of people that could sponsor us, is Big John's in the Midlands. They're Midlands, and I think they're up north as well. But Big John's is a... I first came across Big John's hosting Mellors because they did the food... backstage and there as well. But they do like pizzas, kebabs and that kind of stuff. I saw the Big John's drive-through in Birmingham somewhere, wherever I was. It looks like a McDonald's. And I've met Big John, big Pakistani guy, 6'9" he is. And him and all his family, I've met them all. Great people, really friendly, really good to me. I wouldn't mess with them, that's for sure. They're massive, all of them. You know, like when and they make me feel small. But they're great. They've got a drive. I'm talking about it's properly, puckily branded. And I thought, there's no other chain, I don't think any even close to this one, that of any kind of Indian food or any kind of desi khana. There's no, like, where it looks like a proper drive-through, like a hut, the brickwork, the roof, you know, like it looks like a McDonald's. So I'm all for more drive-throughs in any way.
Speaking of drive-throughs, the other day it was really late at night. I needed something. McDonald's was the only thing that was open. Went to the drive-through. I needed something vegetarian. So I was like, can I get a veggie deluxe? Got it. And it was two of those stupid vegan fingers in a bun. And I was so angry. I was so angry, Kedge. I didn't want to eat the thing.
It is terrible.
Because it was like I just needed food. And I thought, veggie deluxe, yeah, cool. It's like a veggie pack.
The veggie deluxe it's died. That veggie burger is died. It's terrible. What's the point of sticking two veggie fingers in there that don't even like fill up the burger? It's just so poor. It's terrible.
One of the nicest ones, and I know you know, is that cauliflower cheese grill. You get it from, like, I think it's, all the supermarkets. Is it Tesco, Sainsbury's, whatever?
Tesco's ones, yeah.
They're nice, they're big, they're like quarter pounders, they're like...
Shove that in the burger.
Stick that in, slice of cheese, mayonnaise, bosh, man, are you having a good... McDonald's are getting it very, very wrong.
Ronald, if you're listening, mate.
Yeah, mate, sort it out, mate. Yeah. Come on, man. You can do better, Ronald. You can do better. Okay. Do it for the veggies.
So, things we learned this week.
I got a good one. This is a good one because we were by the pool today and Milo and I were chatting away and we talked about, you know, fingers wrinkling because he goes, oh, look how long we've been in the pool. And like, it's only my fingers are only a little bit wrinkled. And then he went, why do your fingers wrinkle? And why do your feet wrinkle? I thought, oh, bloody hell. I don't know the answer to this. So I did a quick sneaky Google of it and it says, do you know why our skin gets wrinkly in the water? Do you know? Because I would have thought, my theory would have been, like, it's not getting oxygen because it's underwater. Because it's not a hydration thing because it's in the water. It's not getting oxygen and it must be some sort of reaction to that. Now, but I came across this one and it's on a website and it's on a couple of websites. It says, after lots of speculation, it says, you know, we know that after 5 minutes in the bathtub, you begin to notice that tiny wrinkles are forming on your hands and feet. Why is that? Researchers have said that it's the body's biological way. And this is quite cool. Of getting a grip on a surface in slippery conditions. Oh, so it's your body adapting, like almost reptilian style, to kind of go, well, hold a minute, how am I going to get a grip on the bottom of the surface here? So your feet go wrinkly to give you more tread. It's like your human grip. I hope that's true, because that's incredible, man. That is
incredible. I don't think my skin does that anymore. I think you lose that.
Why? Is it just wrinkly all the time now, Kedge?
No, it's not.
You know why, Kedge? Because there's no chance, Kedge, there's no chance you're getting a grip on life, mate. I tell you, you are on a slippery slope, mate. You are slippery.
You know, but it's true. Does that happen to you? I don't think it. I don't remember. I went swimming. My fingers don't get wrinkly anymore. I don't think it does that. As you get older, I think we need a part two to this discovery from a doctor.
Okay. I'm sure somebody will get touched.
Somebody in Dubai while you're out there.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, what you learned?
I think this is a you problem because we already know that you don't have any hair on your body. I think you're half man, half dolphin. So maybe that's just
it. My skin's too tight.
Yeah,
exactly.
And Kedge's body's basically Kedge's kind of overriding body system is kind of going, smooth. Why do I need to get a grip? I can just start swimming through the ocean like a dolphin would. So
I'll just keep
here I go. Yeah, exactly. What you learned?
Can I hit you with my one?
Go on.
Yeah.
So the thing I learnt this week, and it was actually from a comedian called Al Murray. Tommy, you know who he is, don't you?
Yeah, of course. Pub landlord.
Pub landlord. So he's basically doing this new show on Sky History, and it's about why the Brits win every war, basically. And the thing that I saw on that was, and this blew my mind because I'm like, how did I not know this? I learnt about this in school and everything, and it was about the Vikings. So if I was to say to you, what would you sort of imagine, like, how would you describe a Viking person? Like, what if you saw a picture of a Viking, how would you describe it?
The helmet, the horns, the beard. big, stop. Burly. Yeah.
Well, there you go. I think I can stop you there, because you said the first thing you said was the helmet and the horn.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no such thing. Like, they, Vikings never had horns on their helmets.
Incredible.
So where we got that from? Is that just like Asterix? I remember the Asterix cartoons.
No. So what it was is back then, in the 1870s, there was a stage show by Wagner, who was a playwright, and he basically, you know, wanted Vikings in his show, and to kind of, you know, symbolizing. To make them look, yeah, he kind of just chucked these horns on their helmets and said, there you go, that's the Viking person. And that's basically translated into all the books and everything that we ever know about Vikings. And it's just always been like that. But they never even had helmets.
I'm going to add to this.
Mind blown.
When I think of Vikings, that's the only thing I think, horns or the helmet. Yeah. Weird looking thing.
And actually, sorry, you know, any future generations of Viking people must be kind of going, man, we've been so misrepresented in history.
Yeah.
This ain't our look at all. Imagine they're kind of going, and the Kegel clan back in the day, they used to wear dresses. And you're like, Kegel's going, no, we didn't.
No,
we didn't.
No.
I never wore a dress. It was one time. It was a fancy dress
once,
night.
And the
one
heels, time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that absolutely blew my mind. And yeah, it's just amazing. I thought, gosh, school was just a waste of time. Learned all sorts of rubbish there. Wasn't even true.
Yeah, by the way, no one told us about Vikings hats.
Yeah, and on that note, see, that's a lot of this stuff is running through me at the moment. So a few weeks ago, I spoke to Satnam Sangera, who is that guy who wrote Empire Land. He also did Boy with the Top Knot, but he talked about Empire, the Brits, history, what we get told, what we don't get told, what we do know, what we don't know, what the Brits took, what Empire did, and therefore wars and how they do war. And I think this Al Murray thing is really well phrased. Why do the Brits win every war? Because straight away you want to go, oh, because you cheat, or because you double cross people, or because it creates an instant reaction. And I want to watch that series. I'm so glad you're into it. And also then today I heard just in the news that they found a 900-year-old Viking sword off of Israel. Did you hear about this? 900-year-old sword covered in all like sea gunk, whatever. But imagine that. Imagine the story of that sword. All that stuff fascinates me. I think that's amazing. So I'm looking forward to watching that doc when I get back. What you got, Kedge? What's your thing
My thing that I learned this week, and it only happened yesterday, a couple of days ago, actually, and that was there was a new World Cup. Ahead of the T20 Cricket World Cup, there was another World Cup that was happening, and not many people knew about it, but I've come across it, and I just thought, firstly, why am I not taking part in this? Why are we not taking part in this? Why are there not more people taking part in this? Because it is. Are you ready for it?
Go on.
The Balloon World Cup.
World Cup?
Yeah, it's a new
sport. What do they do? Blow up balloons?
No, it's two people in a little area which has obstacles, like a car or a table or sofa, random things, chairs. And it's that game that we all played when we were little. One-on-one, you've got to hit the balloon in an upwards motion, and then you've got to keep the balloon up. The person and that's it. But my word, brilliant. Google this. So addictive, because what they do is obviously the courses change slightly, so there'll be different things that they have to get around, a desk, a sofa, whatever, and they're all jumping around trying to get the balloon. We've done this as kids, and we didn't realize that we were training for this event 40 years later.
Wow.
Can I you know, okay, so
it's
as you boys know,
Barcelona FC.
Right. Okay. That's the link then. Now, as you know, I was never. I'm not good at football. I never have been good at football. Not really into football. Always played basketball from a young age. But when you do keepy uppy with a balloon, you felt really good because you could do it because you had time. So I used to love keepy uppy. And actually, there was a bit of a tech. It's like header, and I didn't mind. I got time to run around a little bit and go dink, and then run around a bit and go dink. That's great. The fact they've turned that into a game, I'm like, why has that not been done sooner? And I tell you what, is there an app? There must be an app where you can play the game as well. If there's not, there needs to be the balloon.
No, this is like you just obviously this is like real life. It's not a game. So it's real life. It was on they streamed it on Twitch. They had about 500,000 people viewing it. And the winner of the first World Cup was Peru. They won 6-2 against Germany. Yeah. I mean, honestly, just Google it, watch it. You'll be addicted. You'll be like, how long am I watching this for? Because it is addictive.
That's great. Good. There's the Balloon World Cup exists.
Play with kids. If you've got nothing to do this half term, learn. Play that with your kids.
Keep it happy. There you go. We'll do that. Exactly. Okay, cool. And enjoy the half term. I'm out here in Dubai for all of half term and more. Can I throw one thing in at the end? Just to say this as well. I've got a few messages from people saying, I've seen you starting your own podcast. I hope nothing's happened to the brown load. No, nothing has happened to the brown load. And you know what? You realize people are like little juggle cores. That's a very Punjabi reference. Like juggle queens
we know
and
what
kings.
Juggle
cord, but we put the cord name to it like it's a woman. Yeah. That's terrible.
You could have juggled thing, couldn't you?
Chuggles. Yeah, you could have, but yeah, that sounds like the Chuckle Sings, who are comedians. the juggle lot are like, oh yeah, nothing. Brownlow's happening. Everyone's saying to me, I want to do more. Yeah. And also, it's weird because I'm 44 years old, still working myself out. I have a laugh with you boys, but like, I feel like saying to people, you know, sometimes I have conversations which are serious, but just not with Kedge and Satch, because we just I like to have a laugh with you boys. But you know, I speak to Satnam Sangir about Empire, or I'm speaking to comedians about black comedians or whatever. So that's what the Tommy Sandu podcast is. It's a bit of that stuff. It's just chit chat with different people. I had Michael Vaughan on. I'm doing Moeen Ali tomorrow, which is good because he's up for the cricket and stuff.
What about the podcast?
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm just giving them a massage. I'm just going around their ass and getting my little rub down, get my tail mileage out. No, but so this podcast is here and it's not going anywhere, and the other podcast also exists. That's what I just want to clarify that for any brown node fear. Subscribe to both. It's fine. And they're completely different. And I don't want people to also listen to that and go, God, what's the matter with Tommy? He's quite serious now. It's still me having a bit of a joke, and sometimes just comedians. But anyway, just to clarify, they're just different things. That's all it is. And, you know, you feel like Peter Crouch has got a couple of podcasts. No one went to him and went, so what about the other podcast? I thought that's just up in here kind of thinking this. There's got to be more to this. I'm like, no, there's no more to this.
I mean, Tommy, if you want to switch it up a bit, you can take Kedge on the other when you've got someone serious on. I just think he'll give you a nice little different kind of edge to it. You know? Yeah, exactly. You're right. He's available. You're right. He's available. I know his diary nowadays. I'll book him in for you.
Satch, you're okay. Oh, I think the trains are playing up that day, Satch. So I think it's unable to get him over. And on that note, let's get out of here. Thank you. Boy. It's now 1 a.m. here. How did the match end? Just so we can get closure on it.
Man United won 3-2. Ronaldo excited. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer lives to manage another game.
Boom. Yeah, Ollie's at the wheel. Satch, I hope your internet gets better. Kedge, plans for the weekend, Kedge? What are you doing?
Just trying to
find. Will you watch India Pakistan? Will you be watching that?
Of course, I'll be watching that. But obviously, the main part of my weekend will be trying to find soup tins that actually stack up.
Good luck. You've got tins on tins. Enjoy. Enjoy. Until next
goodbye,
week,
mate.
Take care. I'll be from here again next week, and we'll catch you then. Have a good one, boys. Cheers.
Thanks.
See ya.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.